Subscriber, my name is Eric Elliott, and I am here in Winston-Salem, North Carolina today at the home of Daisy Proctor. And Ms. Proctor, thank you for being with us. This is an interview for the Women Veterans Historical Project at the University of North Carolina at Greensboro, and today is January the 7th in the year 2000, another century since I started this a while back. But Ms. Proctor, I'm going to start the questions with you today about your time in service. It was the same simple question I ask everybody, and that's, where were you born and where did you grow up?
Well, I was born in Bennettsville, South Carolina, and grew up in Bennettsville. Went to high school there, graduated there from high school.
Do you have any brothers or sisters?
Yes, there were five of us. I had two brothers and two sisters.
Were you in the middle or leading?
I was in the middle. Nobody's favorite. That's a bad place to be.
Well, I come from a family of three, and my middle sister tells me that all the time. It's neither old nor young, but it's in the middle. What did your parents do when you were younger?
Well, my father was in the banking business when I was born. He was cashier of the Barbara Trust Company in Bennettsville. Mm-hmm. And when all the banks failed, I think it was the only bank in South Carolina that didn't fail during the Depression. Mm-hmm. And it stayed open. But after that was all over with and the banks began to open, the president of the bank died, and his son didn't want to be president, so they liquidated the bank. So my father went to work with a government organization, the Production Credit Association, mm-hmm. which was an organization that loaned money to farmers to farm their land. Right. And he worked with that until he retired. I don't remember what year he retired.
But was that after you were out of school, after going to college and everything?
Yes. He was chairman of the Production Credit Association while I was in school.
Okay.
I went to school by working while I was in school and also getting two grants from the college to help finance my education.
Well, I just was wondering how it was that a woman from South Carolina came up to North Carolina. What attracted you to women's college?
Well, I went there because they had such a good physical education program, and that's what I wanted to go into. It was a choice between Winthrop College in South Carolina in Rock Hill, and I didn't want to go there, and the Woman's College in Greensboro. That was my top choice. So that's where I went.
Were you active in sports in high school? Did they have a lot of sports?
Yes, I was on the basketball team. I was captain of the basketball team and participated in that. I think that's the only...
Is that the only sport they had to get a letter in?
Sport they had.
Right. When you graduated from high school at Bennettsville, was it 11-year or a 12-year high school then?
11-year.
So you ended in 36?
Yes.
Okay. What did you think of WC? Was it what you expected?
Yes, it was awfully big. But I made a lot of friends there. I enjoyed it. It was hard. It was very tough for me to work like I did and do well scholastically in school. I wasn't a top-notch scholastic student. I was in high school. I was in the honor society in high school, but they called it the Beta Club.
Right, right.
But in college, I had a tough time keeping up and working.
And as a PE major, didn't you have to coach or help teach other? You had to be involved in a lot of things rather than just class hours, didn't
yes,
you?
Yes, yes. I entered a lot of sports in college. I played basketball, I played hockey, I played baseball, I swam, I got my Red Cross life-saving instructors and all that. We were required to do all that.
Right. Are there any instructors that you remember? Who was heading the PE department at that time?
Oh, I don't remember who the... Oh, you mean in my physical education program. I remember Miss Martis and Miss Coleman was the head of the department then. And she and I didn't get along well at all. I was not one of her favorite students. As a result, I wasn't recommended for one of the higher jobs like some of my classmates were. But I did well to get through college in 4 years and work as hard as I had to do.
Right. You know, you're at a time when you look back, a lot of things were going on in the world during those 4 years. And most, you know, any time you're talking about somebody from late teens, early 20s, their mind's probably not on politics. It's probably on boys in school, and that's about it. But I'm just wondering, what was it like social life at the school back then? Was there?
It was nice. We had contacts, of course, with Carolina and Chapel Hill, and we had dances and all kinds of social functions. We managed to have a good time.
And you lived on, obviously, you were on campus in the dormitories the whole time. I know in the 30s, a lot of folks were day students.
Yes.
Are there any professors outside of the PE classes that you remember or courses that either you liked or gave you the dickens?
Well, I had a terrible time. The only course I failed while I was in college was history. And Mr. Poff was my professor, and in spite of how hard I worked, I failed the exam and he failed me on the course. And so I had to take that course over. My sophomore year, I think, I took it over. I've forgotten which year, but I took that along with the other courses that I was required to take because I couldn't afford to go to summer school like everybody does now.
Right. Now, you were, when you were getting your degree in physical education, did they also ask you to I guess, get an education certificate so that you could teach, or was that something you did on your own, or how did that work?
I don't remember. I think you got an education certificate. I didn't have to do any extra work to get that.
Right.
I went right into teaching after college.
Okay.
But nobody helped me get my first job. I got it on my own. I called with superintendent of the schools and went down there for my interview and got the job that was in Lawrence, South Carolina. He was the superintendent coached the basketball team, and he wanted somebody who could help him coach. He needed sort of a chaperone
right.
for the basketball team,
right, right.
which is about what I was. We won the state championship, though, that year.
Nice way to start off, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, yes. So that was a coup for me. And he let me do a little other recreational things besides coach basketball, but the program was mainly basketball. That's the only thing he was interested in.
Right.
I managed to teach some ballroom dancing, and that was one thing I taught, I think. That's about all I got him to let me do.
Okay.
And I chaperoned all of the basketball trips. I went on all the trips when they went out of town to play. That was quite an experience. Because basketball, then, especially with that team, was tough.
And that was a half-court game, wasn't it?
They used to get in fights, and I had those boys in my classes had to work on the farm some of the time, so they were late getting through school. Some of them were as old as I was.
Right, right.
I wasn't but 20 years old.
When you were helping out with, was it just the boys team or boys and girls? They have a girls team down there too?
Oh yeah, the girls team is the team
that got the state championship.
They got the championship and that the superintendent coach.
You were only there for a year and then you went
yes,
to Rock Hill?
I was there for a year and went to Rock Hill.
And what kind of work were you doing at Rock Hill?
I taught science. That was the only thing I taught. In Lawrence, I taught biology and general science.
Okay.
And coached. I didn't do any coaching at Rock Hill. I just taught.
How long were you at Rock Hill?
2 years.
So that would have been from 41 to 43 you were at Rock Hill?
Yeah, and then okay. I went in Rock Hill.
Let me ask you one or two things about that before I get to the main thing I want to talk to you about today, which is why you joined the Red Cross and what you did. When you were at Woman's College, and we talked about this a little bit before we started the tape, Dean Elliott was the dean.
Yes.
What do you remember about Dean Elliott?
Well, she was a good dean. Very fair. And
did students see her a lot on the campus?
Yes, yes.
Were you there when Eleanor Roosevelt visited the campus?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I was trying to think who was May Queen that while I was there. It was, it's a real well-known family in Greensboro. He was a politician.
Pryor?
Pryor.
Emily
yeah.
Harris.
Emily Pryor.
Mm-hmm.
She was Emily Harris.
Yes, I had a chance to meet her and interview her. She's a...
And married Richard Pryor.
Right.
And, but she was the May Queen. And I'll never forget her. She was a year ahead of me.
She was up and... did I guess it probably was when you were in Loras that the government started the draft, even before Pearl Harbor, wasn't it? We had kids leaving high school.
Yes, yes.
You were at Loras then in the... Well, you were at Loras, or you probably at Rock Hill then when Pearl Harbor happened, weren't you?
Yes, I was.
What do you remember about that day?
Well, I remember hearing it on the radio. I was in the car, and I've forgotten where we were going, but it was on a Sunday night, and we had the car radio on. We heard it there.
Did you immediately know what that would mean for...
Yes. All the men were drafted.
Probably made work at the school a little bit different with the men leaving, didn't it?
Yeah.
When was it that you thought about leaving the... teaching and joining the Red Cross? What got you thinking that way?
Well, I didn't, as I say, I didn't like teaching at all. And it just didn't suit me. The lifestyle was too restricted. And I just didn't like it.
Right. Did you know anybody else who had joined the Red Cross?
Yes. I had a couple of friends who, in one very close friend, had joined, and she went overseas, was in the Pacific.
Mm-hmm. She's the one that gave you the warning, well, if you join, don't go overseas.
Yes, not to come overseas.
Right.
Was
there a reason you think that you decided on the Red Cross as opposed to doing something like the Waves or the Whites?
Well, because of, I thought about the USO and other branches of the service, but I wanted to get in recreation, and because Red Cross had this recreation program,
right,
that's what I went into.
Okay. You were in Rock Hill. Where did you have to go to sign up for the Red Cross? You have to go to Charlotte, or where did you go to sign up?
I went to Washington, D.C. for my training,
mm-hmm,
to American University.
How long were you there for training?
Just a short time. It was something like a couple of weeks.
Okay.
And at the American University. And you signed up to either stay in your area, which would have been somewhere in the southeast, or to go anywhere in the United States. And I wanted to go anywhere in the United States.
Right.
And I was delighted to get sent to California.
Yes, considering you could have been in Nebraska or something.
Yeah.
But that's encouraging. You know, a lot of times I talk with folks who join and they put a preference down, and they're sent exactly the opposite of where they signed up to go.
No.
So that's good to hear. Did they tell you, so they made it clear that you had the choice to go in to do recreation, and I guess at this time you volunteered to join the Red Cross, but you are paid something, aren't you?
Oh, yes.
What, is it paid comparable to what you were making as a teacher?
More than I was making as a teacher.
Well, that doesn't hurt either then.
No.
Were your brothers in the war?
Yes. Both my brothers were in the Second World War and also in the Korean War.
Both of them.
Neither one of them served long enough time to be exempt from the Korean War. Because they were real young in the Second World War when they served.
Right.
And they both were in the Navy.
Okay. So you were the world traveler then. Was that trip out to California, well, I guess that was that the farthest away from home you'd ever been?
Yes.
So you're seeing, it's a totally new world for you. Was this the first big train trip you've taken? Yeah. I guess you probably took the train. Did you take the train or take the bus to Greensboro?
Train. Train to the West Coast.
Okay.
And
you were telling me on the phone, you ended up having three stations, I guess, three stops when you were in the Red Cross. Where did you go first?
I was in Fresno, California at Hammer Field, where they had the famous Black Widow fighter jets. At first, when I first got there, they had the B-24 bombers. Then they switched over to the Black Widow fighter planes. And then I was there for, I've forgotten how long, several years in Fresno at Hammer Field. Then I was transferred to Utah, and that was the Air Force, but it was ground forces.
Okay.
Salt Lake City, Kearns, Utah, which was near Salt Lake City. That was a miserable spot.
You were there in early 45, is that what it was?
I think so.
Had the war ended by the time you got to Utah?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
When I was there. Then I was sent from, I wasn't there very long. That I was sent to Oakland, California, to the Naval Station at Oakland, San Leandro, California. And from there I was transferred to Bremerton, Washington.
So you had, in short order, three stops in 45, sounds like, before you got out. What did you actually, was it
I got out in 46.
Okay.
I went in, I think, in 43. So I was in for 3 years.
So you had a, was it,
And I met my husband in Bremerton, Washington. That was a funny experience.
Was he in the service?
He was in the he was an ensign doing his internship in the Navy. and station at the hospital there in Bremerton. And the first night I was there, I broke my little toe. And they took me to the emergency room, and he was on x-ray. And he x-rayed my toe. And that was how we met.
Well, the first time you meet, okay, I can understand that. How do you go back with the second meeting after that? Did you just run into each other? Or did he propose right there and said, let's go out for a date?
No, he came over a week later and asked me to go to a dance. And I went with my broken toe.
I guess they could give you the medical assurance it was all right.
And we started dating from then on.
So you were at Bremerton, what, probably 6 months or so?
I've forgotten how long I was there.
By the time you left, had you decided that you were going to marry this fellow?
Well, no. He was transferred from Bremerton to Great Lakes in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And I stayed on in Bremerton. And then, he asked me to marry him before I left Bremerton. He called me on the phone from Chicago, and he proposed on the telephone.
I guess you had to do it pretty well to say yes at that point.
Yeah.
Well, now, what was his name?
Richard
okay.
C. Proctor.
Great.
Yeah. He went into psychiatry. He did a year's residency in the Navy, and then came back here. He was a graduate of Bowman Gray, and he came back here and did 2 more years at Grayland with Bowman Gray when Grayland was a psychiatric hospital, private psychiatric hospital.
Great.
Part of Bowman Gray Medical School.
Right.
And then, when they closed Grayland, he became chief of the Department of Psychiatry at Bowman Gray Medical School. And he was there for 30 years before he retired. He had Alzheimer's and had to retire.
So did you all move out here together in 90, or how did that?
Yes.
Okay.
We came out here because he was sick and we wanted a place for him to go when
this
I couldn't look after him any longer.
Right.
I looked after him here in this apartment for as long as I could until he got to the point where he needed more help than I could have here in the apartment. And he died in health care.
How long ago was that?
1995.
It is a long, what's the book, the 36-hour day or something about how that my grandfather passed away the same illness. It's a long process, isn't it?
It's a terrible illness.
Yeah.
He had it for 11 years. before he died. So by the time he died, he didn't know any of his family. Didn't know me, the children, or anybody.
How many kids did you all have?
Two. Boy and a girl.
Well, I had two boys. I couldn't get the baby to order. My sister has four girls, tried to get the other boy. well, let me go back and fill in a few things about your time at CERT. What were you actually doing, and what was your day-to-day job in Fresno when you first got out there?
Well, we made rounds of all the wards in the hospital that we could visit. We took crafts out there for the men to do. And we organized activities in our Red Cross building, such as talent shows. We had dances. I remember I had such a hard time with the CEO of the place over the dances, because we had, of course, we had black boys who didn't have any hostesses, any girls to dance with, and I wanted the people who were bringing the girls out there to bring black girls as well as white girls, so the black, and have mixed dances, and that didn't suit at all.
Was there an official policy on it, or pretty much just whatever the CEO wanted to do?
It was whatever the CEO wanted to do. So I went to him and complained and talked him into letting me bring black girls out there for the dances.
Well, that's the Army and the Quite services good. Were pushing the, because of wartime, I guess people were more integrated than they'd ever been before, I guess, up to
that's
that time.
That's correct.
Well, from the South, did you not have, you must not, you don't sound like you had any reservations about
that. I didn't. When we didn't have black hostesses, I danced with the black boys. And, of course, I did recreational things with them all the time.
How many people were stationed out there?
I don't know. I've forgotten.
Was it a couple hundred?
It was a big base, so. Okay. It was a big hospital.
How many Red Cross people? Were you like the head of a group of Red Cross? Or
I was
a certain
head
area?
Of the
recreation
department.
Okay.
There and everywhere that I was stationed. I wasn't head as soon as I got out there, but later I was made head before I left.
Right. Were the Red Cross women housed there on the barracks? Or were they housed there at the base?
We were housed in the Red Cross building, which was a big building. It had a big auditorium. It had bedrooms upstairs where we lived.
Okay.
It had a library.
I know I've talked with someone.
We had movies.
So like a service club right there for everybody.
We had movies every week.
Were there any other enlisted women? Were there any whites who were on that base?
No.
So you all were the only women who were on the base?
Yes.
Okay.
There were the nurses.
Now I know you've been away from home for a while before you go out there, but I'm curious, what did your parents think about you joining up with the Red Cross? Going so far from home, how did they feel about it?
They felt that it was fine with them.
So they weren't worried about the kind of stuff you were doing. Your immediate boss, when you had to plan something, you had to always get the CO's approval, I guess, for something special. Or did you have a supervisor? You say when you first went out there, you had a supervisor.
We had a supervisor there who was head of the whole program. We didn't have to get approval of everything from the CO.
Okay.
The dances, that was the only thing I ever remember going to him about.
You were, most of the people that you were working with, as far as the work goes, were other women. You didn't have to work on a day-to-day basis then with a male supervisor.
No.
How did the soldiers treat you all? Were they did you have any trouble or static from people, or were most of them appreciative and courteous?
Most of them were appreciative. We furnished them cigarettes and did their recreation. We had a pool table in the auditorium where they spent all their time. Taught me how to shoot pool.
Well, I figured you probably picked up a few skills out there. What was your work week? 5 day a week, 6 day a week? How long was your work week when you were out there?
I don't remember.
But you got to travel on the weekends.
I don't remember how we worked the weekends.
You probably didn't have a car. Did somebody on base have a car?
We had a Red Cross had a car.
Okay.
Yeah.
When you signed up, you had to, was it for the duration of the war or just for a flat 3 years? Just a 3 year commitment?
I didn't sign up for any length of time.
So it must have been duration of the war plus something like that. Well, did you ever think about staying in the Red Cross and making it a career, or was that just not an option?
No. When I planned to get married, I got out. I resigned right away.
So y'all got married in 46?
48.
After he came back to school?
Yeah.
Okay.
He was still in the Navy when we got married, but he was only in for another year. I forgot exactly how long. We came back here in 48, so he got out in 48.
Okay. What was the hardest thing that you had to do while you were in the Red Cross, either physically or emotionally, you think?
I don't remember any of it being hard. Difficult.
How about anything that was particularly embarrassing or funny that happened, either
no.
to you or somebody that you were with? You have any recollections of?
No.
You go through so many people, I guess, you meet when you're out there. It's kind of hard to keep track of them after a while, isn't it? Did you ever keep up with any of the girls that you worked with when you were out there?
Did what?
Did you ever keep up with any of the girls that you worked
yes.
with?
Yes. We kept up for a while.
When you were, either when you were at Fresno or back when you were at in Utah or Oakland or Bremerton, did you ever feel afraid or in physical danger being in these new places?
No.
In other words, the service folks were going to take care of you.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you remember where you were when you heard about Roosevelt passing away?
No.
How about VE or VJ Day? You have any remembrances of those?
No, I don't remember that.
For social life when you were out there, I know when we were in Bremerton, social life becomes your husband. before then, did the Red Cross girls go out together? Or was pretty much everybody on their own on social life? Or what did y'all do for after
hours? Well, we had all the we met all of the doctors and people that worked in the hospital, and we could go to the officers' club anytime we wanted to.
That was nice.
And we had plenty of social life.
Can you think of any particular songs or movies when you see them rerun on TV that take you back to that time? When you hear them, you see them, you say, oh yes, I remember that.
No.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that go on for them. Well, do you think that your time in the Red Cross, that by serving there, that you helped contribute to the war effort?
Yes, I think I did.
You have probably, some of the people I talked with weren't really able to be both, by being stateside, you can kind of help me answer this one. You know, most of the people I talk with who talk about that time talk about it being a lot more patriotic than we are now. That everybody was pulling together. But when you were out there in Fresno, did you ever get the sense from the people at base or the people just in the general public that people might have been afraid at some level that we might lose the war? Was there any fear of that?
No.
Okay. When you think back to the wartime, are there any people that you think of as heroes or heroines who stand out in your memory?
No.
You came back and after you'd told your husband I do over the phone, y'all came back to this area. Did you get back in the workforce or did you raise the kids? What did you do after you came back from your time?
Well, when we first got married, my husband was still in the Navy, so we were stationed at Great Lakes in Chicago.
Okay.
And we lived in an apartment in a little place near the base called Zion, Illinois.
Right.
And which was a little small town, and we lived there for a while, and we lived on the base for a while in when they opened up some apartments
right
around the hospital. We lived in one of those apartments, and while I was there, I had to cook and keep the house and do that sort of thing. But I got in the volunteer Red Cross and worked in the hospital as a volunteer, doing the bookmobile and things like that that the Red Cross volunteers do.
Okay.
And then when he got out of the Navy and we came back here, and we're at Grayland, I had a job as the recreation director there, and I taught swimming and did the recreation with the patients there.
It's nice to be able to work at the same place your husband is, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, good.
And all the wives over there worked. We were all supporting our husbands because the residents, they weren't making
back. They were working the
any money.
Right.
Very little, and they were getting what little they got from the B-12 program.
Mm-hmm.
But our room and board was free over there, of course. We lived at Grayland. They had converted all the... Are you familiar with that state?
Yep.
Yeah, the Bowling
Green. Did you live inside the main building or back in the back with the...
We lived back in the stable. And then when Grayland closed, we built a house over Westview Drive.
Okay.
And lived there until we moved here.
So you've seen a lot of changes in Winston-Salem, haven't you?
Yeah.
We came here about the same time you moved here. My family moved to Winston-Salem, so it's changed a fair amount since we've been here. Well, and looking back at things, when you think about your time in the Red Cross, it's easy for me to say, well, how your life changed because of the time in the Red Cross. Well, you found Mr. Wright in the Red Cross. Do you think there's anything else that changed about you because of your time in the Red Cross back in the war?
Well, I had to give up a lot of my Southern upbringing.
Yep.
Like my racial prejudices.
Think it made you more independent than you would have been otherwise?
Oh yes, much
more.
You
had to make a lot of decisions more than you might have other places. Uh-huh. Didn't you? And you were making decisions at the age of 22 and 23.
Yeah.
For how all these men would be handled.
Yeah.
That's pretty important. There are you're not in the service in the Red Cross during that time, but you're certainly watching what changes are happening in the service. Part of them we already mentioned. With the integration of blacks and whites.
Yeah.
But women started entering the service a lot during that war, and today the role in the military for women is so different from back then. We sent our first woman into combat as a pilot, fighter pilot, back in December a year ago when we bombed Saddam Hussein. I'm just wondering, mm-hmm. Do you think that there are some jobs in the military that should be off limits to women, or do you think that it should be open to all levels for women?
I don't think women ought to fight, be in combat at all.
Okay. Well, I have gone through all my 30 questions. Can you think of anything else that I have not asked you about your time in service with the Red Cross?
No, I think we've covered everything.
Well, I appreciate you sitting down and doing this with me today. And I know from the school's perspective, it's nice to find somebody who's a WC grad who we can talk about two things at once,
yeah.
WC and your time in the Red Cross. So, transcriber, thank you for being patient with us. We'll see you. I hope California's as pretty as this today. It's nice outside.